for me, I notice a big difference in the way I feel when I am very cognizant about what I consume in terms of dairy, gluten, sugar, alcohol, of those things, and stress. And if the two of those things are happening simultaneously, which, let's be honest, wine and stress often are paired very closely together.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here Friday night, every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another interesting episode of the Autoimmune Hour. Wow. It's been a strange week. We had so many things happening, and we've had an incredible heat wave here in the Pacific Northwest with a lot of smoke in the air, things like that. I've had to be super careful, not only just with, when we say, with my autoimmune condition, but health in general. There's some health warnings out here about the air. It's very sad. It's just, oh my goodness. So many things can happen to us that are unintended, unexpected. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, my autoimmune condition diagnosis was certainly unintended and unexpected, but even a lot of things can happen and be thrown in your way that you're just like, wow, didn't see that coming. So anyway, tonight I have a great chai tea here, and I have some homemade almond milk in it, so I'll be slurping on that. I hope you're cuddling up with something nice and to enjoy the next hour with us, because tonight we have Alexis Bigwarf. She is a wife, mother of three, dog owner, and advocate for those without a voice. She started blogging as an outlet for her grief after the loss of one of her twin daughters to twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, and now she uses the blog to advocate for those without a voice. The URL is katbiggie.com. That's KatBiggie.com. We'll have that up on Life Interrupted Radio for you. And she has written and or edited and self-published numerous books on her own and for other authors through her hybrid publishing company, Kat Biggie Press. She uses the hard-earned publishing knowledge to support other writers and small businesses in completing publishing and marketing their books through her company, Write, Publish, Sell. She spends her free time writing about children's and maternal health topics and survival strategies for busy moms. Now here's the shocking part, if that wasn't shocking enough, all while living with Hashimoto's and lupus. But she's got an awesome, awesome story about thriving against the odds, regardless of your diagnosis. So welcome, Alexa. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here. This is such a great show for those of us fighting autoimmune diseases.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And, you know, it's always, I just love having these stories of people that beat the odds, against the odds, the thriving stories. We don't call ourselves survivors here. We call ourselves thrivers. Because, you know, oftentimes people say to us things like, you're so brave, or something like that. And I'm like, I didn't know. That's a silly question to me. I mean, like, what's the alternative? You know, I'm not just going to curl up on the floor. So tell us, I mean, my goodness, Hashimoto's and lupus. Can I ask, did they come at the same time? Which came first? And tell us a little bit about how you came to find it out.
Thankfully, they did not come at the same time, because that would be really, really, really difficult. But as most of us with autoimmune diseases know, they often run in packs. And once you have one, you're more likely to develop another one. So I think that was a good thing in one way because I knew to keep my eyes open. But actually, well, let me just back up. So the Hashimoto's, I actually received a diagnosis very young. I was 19 when I started having issues and went to go see an endocrinologist and was actually diagnosed with Graves' disease at the time, because apparently when, for those of you with thyroid diseases are probably very familiar with this, when you are having thyroid issues and thyroid disease, your thyroid's all over the place. So at the time when they first were following me and taking my blood and all of that stuff, I was at a point where my thyroid was spiking. So they put me on medication as if I was hyperthyroid. I was 19 years old. I was very active. I was in school and I just was not getting better. Nothing was changing. In fact, I was gaining weight. And I was like, this is so weird. If my thyroid is overactive, why am I gaining weight? Why am I sluggish? All this kind of stuff. As 19 year olds are, I figured I knew better than the doctor. So I just stopped taking my medication and stopped going to see him. And
I don't think we have to be 19 for that. I think some of us rebel at some point in time during our diagnosis.
Exactly. And for several years, I was okay. I mean, I went without medication. I was all right. It wasn't until I went into the military when I was 24, I believe, and I'd been doing okay, but all of a sudden I started gaining weight. And I actually, for those of you who are not familiar, in the military, you have very frequent weigh-ins. And I actually failed a weigh-in by 1 pound. I was 1 pound over my max weight. And thankfully, before they, it seemed like a gut reaction to me. I was like, really, over 1 pound, you're going to throw me through all these tests and everything. But before they start punishing you for being overweight, they actually put you through a medical examination to make sure that there's not something else going on. And it turned out that my thyroid,
well, thank goodness.
Yeah, exactly. It turned out that my thyroid was really low. And I'll never forget the doctor because he was so excited. And he was like, I'm sorry, I don't normally get excited about this. But he was like, but you have no idea how many people fail our weigh-ins and there's nothing wrong with them. And he was like, and there is something wrong with you. And I'm like, that's not very exciting. Not very exciting to me, but
although, well, Alexa, you know, what was funny, when I finally got the label for mine, I think back now that my first autoimmune, now that I've studied it so tremendously over the last 3 years, was at 16. But I didn't know until decades later when I finally got a label. And in a way, I was oddly sort of maybe relieved, not excited. But it was finally.
Well, and there was relief to it for me, actually, because I had been battling my weight and I was kind of like, okay, this is good. I can get on medicine. I'm not going to get, punish is a strong word, but you do get in trouble and it can damage your career in the military if you continue to struggle with your weight, because that's one of the requirements. Just like anything else, it's required that you stay fit and in shape and within the standards. So I was relieved that that there was something and that it was something that could be controlled with medication and all those types of things. So they got me on the right type of medication that time. And since that point in time, I'm now almost 41. And since then, I've been able to other than throughout pregnancies where your thyroid goes bonkers, and mine always dropped really, really low whenever I was pregnant, it's been managed fine with Synthroid. So, but I have found that I cannot take levothyroxine. I have to take the actual brand Synthroid, or my thyroid starts to go crazy again.
You know, that's interesting. I myself have certain brands of medications and they'll say, oh, it's all the same. And I have to say, no, it's not. For whatever reason, it's not
that's the same.
Well, I think it takes a lot of courage to go back to the pharmacist and or doctor and or insurance company and say, look, this brand was working great, and now this new brand is not working great.
Well, and I do have to pay more. It's almost a $25 difference for me to get the brand name over the off-brand name. But as my rheumatologist was telling me, which I'll get to him in a second because he's the lupus doctor. As my rheumatologist was telling me, there can be up to a plus or minus 30% difference in what they put in the off-brand.
I didn't realize it was that much.
Which is a huge
difference. That's huge. That's huge.
Yes, because for the lupus, I take Plaquenil, and there is an off-brand, a generic brand of Plaquenil. And he says some people just don't do well at all with it. Thankfully, I have been doing well with it since I started on it. But they ran out of it at my pharmacy, so now they're giving me the brand name at the off-brand price, which I'm fine with. but anyway, so the lupus diagnosis didn't come until I was 33 years old, so quite a bit later. And lupus can be triggered by severe stress, extreme stress, particularly if you already have the markers for it, and pregnancy in women. And I had both of those going on at the same time. It was my second pregnancy. At the time, I worked in Homeland Security and counterterrorism. I was working really long hours and a really stressful job. I was also getting my master's degree, and I had a two-year-old at
home. Oh, no stress?
Lots of stress.
No stress? What are you talking about? Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. Lots of stress. And I'm, no kidding. No stress at all. Lots of stress. Pregnancy and just life was crazy. So it started with extreme pain and swelling in my knees. And when I say extreme pain, I mean, like, I wanted to cry walking up and downstairs. It hurt so badly. And I was so frustrated with my OBGYN because I went into her to my appointment. Granted, this is my second pregnancy. Everything was going great, well. And I was like, I'm having really bad pain in my knees. And she was like, well, of course you are. You're pregnant. And it just made me so mad because I was like, I've only gained like 10 pounds. So extreme pain in the knees for weight gain. Yes, if I had gained 150 pounds, maybe. Right. But second of all, you know, your pain from weight gain and things like that, that's like discomfort and a little bit of pain. That's not, I want to cry every time I go up and down a stair, you know. And then I started getting pain around, swelling around some of my other joints in my hands. So I went to an orthopedic doctor at the time, and they were like, well, we can't really do anything for you right now. You're pregnant. We can't do x-rays. We can't do any of this stuff. So if you're still having swelling around your joints, come back after the baby's born. So the baby's born, everything went well, I was feeling okay, and the swelling in my knees and pain just would not go away, to the point where every time I bent down to put her in the bathtub or pick her up out of the bathtub, I was terrified I was going to drop her and break her poor little skull. So I told my mom about it, she's a nurse and in nursing admin, and she was like, well, I think you need to go see your endocrinologist because, you know, we looked up some of the stuff and she said, if your thyroid's off, it could be causing some swelling and joint pain. But I don't know if this to this extreme. And oh, by the way, your aunt has just been, her sister has just been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. So I think you should go in and tell them this. And I was like, great. This is just what I wanted to deal with right now.
I think we've all had that many of those moments with autoimmune. It's like, great.
Right. Right. So I went into my endocrinologist. Granted, this is the same guy who misdiagnosed me with Graves' disease years before. So at the time was like just barely even still practicing. He was like on his way out the door, retirement. And so I just didn't feel real comfortable about the whole situation. But he said, no, it's not your thyroid. I don't believe your thyroid would be doing all this craziness. I'm going to refer you to the endocrinologist. He thought I also had RA. So, you know, my rheumatologist that he referred me to is very old school and very, very, very thorough. So they put me through every test under the sun. And again, they don't want to take, because they're so overloaded with patients, they don't take people unless you meet a certain number of markers towards autoimmune. So I had all the markers. I had the swelling, the joint pain, the butterfly rash, the antibodies, the whole slew. So they were like, yep,
you won.
You definitely have something going on. So, but the good news is they believed that it was very early on and were very, you know, because I was 33 years old. I'm sitting there in the waiting room with a bunch of people far older than me. And he was like, the good news is we think that we've caught it very, very early on. I did all the x-rays and scans and everything. They're like, there's no damage to your joints yet. So let's get you in, let's get you on medication. And they did, they started me on Plaquenil. He was like, I want to start you on, I don't want to go to prednisone or some of the stronger drugs because of the side effects. If we can get this under control with Plaquenil, let's do that. So we started it. And within a month, the swelling started going away. I still have flare-ups from time to time. I will tell you that one of the biggest things I think that led to my immediate, to my drastic healing was that my daughter was born with something called MSPI, milk soy protein intolerance. The formula for that is something crazy, like $25 a can. And we could not even imagine spending that kind of money for the first amount of year of her life. So I decided to pump and nurse her, which meant I had to give up everything that had any kind of dairy or soy in it at all. So I basically went extreme paleo. So there was no gluten, no dairy, no fast food, no soy, no nothing. And at the time, I didn't realize it. But since I've been doing a lot of research now, I've seen so much of a connection between gluten, dairy, soy, and flare-ups, or even masked autoimmune diseases. So, I am a true believer in the impact of food on our health with autoimmune issues.
Oh, I find that too. And when I first started doing that, like you, it became down to just a handful of foods that I was eating, gave up sugars, and even a lot of the high sugar fruits, not just the processed sugars, but even a lot of the high sugar fruits. Gave up all the nightshades. And my family, I don't know if this happened to you. I mean, as much as they love me, they're like, this is ridiculous, Sharon. You're eating like six, eight things. I'm like, well, I know they don't. I wake up in the morning and I don't hurt. If I eat that grilled cheese sandwich with you, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll hurt. That's, in fact, it happens faster to me. It can just be in a couple of hours. I'll go, I shouldn't have eaten that. So that's always so shocking about it. So controlling your diet, understanding which food sensitivities you have obviously worked for you. It's a great tip, but we need to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back and ask Alexa about more great tips about how to work these things into your busy life. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here today with Alexa Bigwarf. She's from WritePublishCell.co, as well as CatBiggie.com, which are her two companies, and she's sharing with us her thriving story of how she's able to be such a busy mom, owner of two major companies, a blog about her dealing with the loss of a twin daughter. Oh my goodness, she's just a busy, busy woman. And when we had to take that quick commercial break, she was sharing with us some tips. First, she talked about her diet. Alexa, what other tips have you noticed that have helped you keep up such a crazy schedule?
Stress management for me is huge. As I mentioned, when I was diagnosed with the lupus, I had a lot going on. I was in school full-time. I was working full-time in a very demanding job. I had a little one at home, and then we had brought in another little one. Over the next year, my symptoms came and went. And at some point in time, I remember having a conversation with my rheumatologist and him saying something to me like, you have two choices. You can continue to work in an environment like this that is crazy stressful and potentially, you know, get really ill and die.
Okay.
or you can find a new career field. And, you know, so, it was a very, very, very stressful environment for a lot of reasons. But so my husband and I took a look at our budget and a look at our life and decided that it was probably a good time for me to plan on staying home with the kids and stop working. Little did I know that within 3 months of coming home to be with the kids, I would get pregnant with identical twins who were then very sick. And that was a stressful situation in itself. But for me, I noticed a big difference in the way I feel when I am very cognizant about what I consume in terms of dairy, gluten, sugar, alcohol, of those things, and stress. And if the two of those things are happening simultaneously, which, let's be honest, wine and stress often are paired very closely together, I notice that I do have more pain, in particular in the mornings when I'm getting up, and the brain fog definitely gets worse. But sun is also a really big contributing factor to my symptoms. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I live in Columbia, South Carolina, so it's very sunny most of the year. I'm very hot. And I did go off my Plaquenil for about 6 months just because I wanted to test if I could manage my symptoms on my own with diet mm-hmm. and those types of things. And I actually was feeling fine, but my rheumatologist got really upset with me. But one of the big things I did notice is I was not as impacted by the sun when I wasn't taking the Plaquenil. Of course, this is a completely uncontrolled experiment that millions of things could have impacted. So I would never tell anyone to stop taking their medication because it will, you know, whatever. Long story short, my rheumatologist did say, look, if you don't go back on this medicine, we know from years of things that it can keep the disease at bay from getting worse. I can't tell you that you won't wind up having worse things happen to you later because we didn't keep it here. So after listening to him, I decided that he was probably right, probably knew what he was talking about.
But I think we all have. I've just in the over 140 shows I've done and knowing myself, I think we all have those moments of just like, I'm done with this, or I'm feeling so much better. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't need to take the meds, because in all honesty, a lot of these meds have some pretty significant
side effects.
Some pretty significant, I like to call them alternative symptoms.
Right.
Because some of the times with some of the meds I have been on and off, I have said to my doctor, let me choose my symptoms, because sometimes I didn't care for, I had a period of about 6 months on a particular medication where I had short-term memory loss so bad that they were testing me for dementia.
Oh.
I was writing everything down, and it absolutely terrified me, and I realized that it was the medication. I said, I said, there's got to be another med, because let me choose my symptoms. And so I think, you know, I think that's mm-hmm. perfectly normal reaction of like, okay, let me see. Am I done with this? Am I over this? But the sun too, I've heard. I travel a lot, and I'm always having to travel with that big hat. And sometimes when I'm, mm-hmm. sometimes when I have a flare, I even have to wear gloves to keep my hands up, because my condition mm-hmm. is called dermatomyositis, which in dermato means you get skin rashes. So my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So stress management, diet, to staying out of the sun. I think those are ones that I hear that are, I'll say not global, but definitely hit a large range, not just Hashimoto's and lupus.
Well, yeah, and see, here's the thing about the medication is that I've done a lot of research, but unfortunately where I'm at, we don't have any, I'd have to drive probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours to get to a functional medicine doctor. And eventually that's what I want to do, is to go to a functional medicine doctor and really look at alternate routes of healing. I don't want to be on medication, but at this point in time, I don't feel safe because I'm not a medical professional and because I'm not seeing someone else who does know how to manage you in alternate ways. I don't feel safe just taking myself off my medication and winging it and see what happens.
Yeah,
you know?
That's really wise. So, that's really wise. I like so that, winging it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a little too risky, especially when you're talking about, you know, what could happen if the disease does progress. And it's a little too scary for a 40-year-old with three small children to just kind of figure out what would happen. I don't really want to go there. So, but I've done a lot of research and I do really, really believe that a lot of our symptoms and a lot of the progression of the disease is actually caused by leaky gut syndrome, which is caused by all of those things that we're putting into our bodies, not just the food, but the chemicals we're exposed to. And yes, I'm one of those weirdos, but.
Oh, no, I believe in leaky gut too. And I get very frustrated because I do now have a medical team that believes in leaky gut. Mm-hmm. They may not call it that, but right. They believe that the gut health of the gut plays a huge in all of our healing, not just trying to tell someone, look, this is what I'm doing to heal my gut as well. But it is frustrating to oftentimes have to search for the right medical team, mm-hmm. The medical team that, you know, has the expertise, but also the open-mindedness, because I've told this story on air before. When I went to the first rheumatologist after diagnosis, highly, highly regarded person, head of a department, you know, just highly, supposedly the best in town type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was at the height of the outbreak, the disease, when I was diagnosed. It was quite obvious just walking in. Oh, my goodness, you have dermatomyositis. He said to me, you know, because it takes a while to get into some of these guys, he said to me, so what have you been doing? And I listed off that, you know, eating organic and off gluten and off dairy and all of these things that I'd read about, trying to heal my gut, filtered water. And he turned and looked at me in all seriousness and said, none of those are going to help. Mm. And I'll tell you, the way he said it, I had this wave of 5-year-old sort of scolding from my teacher happen to me. And the little evil twin on my shoulder whispered in my ear, see, I told you could have had that chocolate malt. So I think it's critically important, even if we're not able to get to functional medicine, because I know that is a newer type of thing where it's a little more holistic. And it isn't always easy to follow, but I have found that you're able to find some medical professionals that are saying, I don't know, Sharon, but if staying off gluten and dairy makes you feel better, go for it.
That's exactly the response that I got from my rheumatologist, actually, because I had been on, I'd been doing the Whole 30 program, and I went to see him. And the time before that, I'd gone to see him. I'd been having some flare-ups and wasn't doing super. And then I went back and I was just amazing. I mean, just, I lost weight. All my symptoms were gone. I felt great. I had more energy. And he was like, well, if that makes you feel better, then do it. And I was so disappointed though with that response. I mean, at least it wasn't him saying that's not going to help you, but I was so disappointed. So the next time I went back, I took him some articles that I'd been reading, scholarly articles. They weren't just like something that I found on Wikipedia. It was, you know, actual medical research and stuff. And this last time when I went to go see him, he actually, I don't know that he remembered the conversation that we'd had, it had been almost 2 years ago. But when I told him that I was again following the gluten-free and trying to reduce sugar and dairy and all that stuff, he actually said to me, yes, I've been following some research about the impact that gluten has on. And I was just like, inside my head, I was like, yes. He listened. He might not remember that it was me that told him. It may have been someone else that got through to him. I don't care, but he's listening and looking at some of that. So Yeah.
Oh, bravo. Bravo. I no longer go to that rheumatologist, but even the ones I go to that are still open-minded, the thing that drives me just crazy is they'll say, oh, Sharon, you know, you are in the top 1% of our patients with, you know, you're doing so well and all of this. And then I say, would you like to know what I'm doing?
No.
Just keep doing it.
Take that medicine.
I'm like, well, if you've got 99% of other people doing worse than me.
Right.
And I'm not doing anything like, you know, waving a dead chicken over my head. It's not like crazy stuff. Why not be open? So I'm glad you found a doctor that was open, willing to look at some things that were possibly being able to easily implement.
Right.
Sometimes I travel a lot. It's not that easy with your diet. You have to carry a lot of food with you.
Yeah.
But it can be crazy. Oh, my goodness, Alexa, we need to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to her about what it's like running two very successful companies as well. So we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Alexis Bigwarf today, and she is the wife, mother of three, dog owner, and advocate for those without a voice. She is just an awesome woman. She also has her own self-publishing company, as well as helping others, small businesses and individuals, complete, publish, and market their books with her company, Write, Publish, Sell. So if that's not enough, she spends her free time writing about children's and maternal health topics and survival strategies for busy moms. So welcome back, Alexa. Thank you for sharing your story about what it was like to be diagnosed with Hashimoto's and lupus, and those great tips that I found that they're ones that I think are global, not just if you have Hashimoto's or lupus. Definitely all of us can implement those in our lives. Tell me, you know, I find it fascinating the number of people, these thriving stories I like to do. So many of them have, after the diagnosis, found a different passion. And because what I do, and also as my kids like to say, the real world, is I'm a corporate communications trainer and body language expert. But the minute I got diagnosed with an autoimmune condition and I went through my own struggles trying to get quality information, I started the Autoimmune Hour because I wanted to share. And I find other people, when they come up against crises or trauma in their life, there's a certain number of people that will take it and turn it into a mission. And I think that's you're one of us, aren't you?
I am, but it kind of came about in a convoluted way. When I was originally diagnosed with the thyroid issues, and even when I got my second diagnosis and actually took my medicine and did what I was supposed to do. That didn't really surprise me terribly because thyroid issues run in my mom's family. So like she'd been super, super, super hyper to the point where they had to remove the majority of her thyroid. And she had another brother and sister. So again, you know, if you're new to thyroid disease, they are definitely family. They run through the family. So keep an eye out for your kids and other family members if they start having symptoms. But so the thyroid thing didn't really, I'd grown up with that. It was kind of normal. The lupus, however, I'd had a friend's mom in college who died from symptoms from her lupus disease growing out of control. So here I was, 35 years old, had just had my second child and was given this diagnosis, which to me only happens to old people or older people and led to death. So it was really, really, really scary, but I kind of just shut down about it because I was like, I don't know that I can even handle this right now, let alone, you know, try and have anybody else weigh in on their opinions on it. And nobody had had a disease that serious and or what could be that serious. I was lucky that they caught it early on. And even my symptoms to me were horrific. Living in chronic pain is something I would not wish on my worst enemy. But to other people, they couldn't see that. It's not like they saw me going for cancer treatments or saw me lose my hair or saw me, you know, you can't really show someone chronic pain or memory loss or any of those things. My whole family just thought I was nuts because, you know, I couldn't remember anything. And they just were like, oh, that's just her. She's always been hyperactive. That's just that, you know.
But we know, and I think that's the important thing is we know. Mm. And one of the things I started doing through my process was journaling. So I could look back and say, oh, that happened. Okay. Maybe that so I found patterns, and that was so helpful to find the patterns.
But it was really what really got me writing and doing more advocacy and talking about it actually had nothing to do with the autoimmune disease. It had to do with my third pregnancy, which was super, super high risk. I was now going into the geriatric stages, as I say, with air quotes there. I was going to be 35 when the babies were born. So I was of advanced maternal age, as they say, which now to me seems so funny as I have so many friends having babies into their 40s. You know, at 35 seems still like a baby. Right. But, you know, anyway, and I had recently been diagnosed with the lupus. So I was high risk to start with. Then we found out that we were having identical twins, which are high risk pregnancy. And then we found out that they were at 20 weeks, we found out that they were suffering from a disease called twin to twin transfusion syndrome, which is 100% fatal in babies, in twins, if not treated, and has very, very high risk regardless. And at 20 weeks, they were progressed far enough with the disease that we were told both babies would die. I was in and out of the hospital multiple times, three times to be exact. I was hospitalized the last time for 5 weeks on full fetal monitoring for 24/7 for 5 weeks. They were born at 30 weeks. One of them had heart failure. The entire right side of her heart had stopped working. And because of the fluid she'd taken on in her body, because of that, she had what's called hydrops. Her lungs weren't able to develop to support her body. So she passed away after 2 days. And the other one was actually the one that was growth restricted. She was only a pound, 10 ounces at birth. So we had no idea what she would be faced with as she spent 12 weeks in the NICU. And my health obviously was on the absolute back burner because I didn't have time to think about it. But I started, the way this all connects is that I started blogging about grief of losing a baby and about having a baby in the NICU and about twin-to-twin TTS, twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, and making people aware of it. Because if you are able to get pregnant, you are able to have identical twins because the doctors and medical community have no idea what makes that egg split. So any one of us could wind up with identical twins, and 20 to 25% of identical twin pregnancies would be diagnosed with twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome.
25%. Wow.
More babies die from TTTS every year than SIDS, but it's not as publicly known because many of those babies are lost prior to 20 weeks, so they're not quote-unquote counted. So, and it causes huge, most babies with TTTS are born very preterm, between 24 and 28 weeks, which just causes all kinds of havoc on the babies and their poor little bodies. So all that aside, I was like, I'm going to make some noise about this. Other people need to know. I don't care if I scare the britches off of somebody. I wish someone had told me about TTTS. And in fact, the OB community is completely just blows my mind at how few of them still know about it or tell patients about it or know the severity of it, which is just frightening. I remember my OB just in passing mentioning that sometimes identical twins that share a placenta can not split it equally, and one of them gets too much fluid and the other one doesn't get enough. And if that happens, there's things we can do, no big deal. So I was like, this isn't something I really need to worry about. They can handle it if it happens.
Right.
Until it happened and we realized how much more serious it was. But so I started blogging. After that, I started about grief largely. When my surviving twin was 18 months old, a friend delivered a stillborn baby. And at that point in time is when I decided that I wanted to write the first book, Sunshine After the Storm, A Survival Guide for Grieving Mothers. So I reached out to all the bloggers and writers that and people in communities that I knew that were supporting mothers in that area. We put together the book. I did the editing, the compilation, and the entire publishing process. And I just fell in love with that process and realized that it was something I wanted to help other people do as well. So I started helping others, and it started out mostly as grief, but now it's my platform. I work almost entirely with females who are writing some type of nonfiction, self-help, transformation, encouragement, survival stories, those types of things. But throughout the process, I became an advocate for the March for Babies and for maternal and fetal medicine type things. And then slowly but surely started advocating for myself as someone with issues as well, because I realized like how much my own medical situation impacted everything else going on in my world as well, and how important it was to keep myself healthy and how important it was for other people to understand the challenges that I was dealing with. I wasn't just some scatterbrained woman who could barely keep my life and my children's lives together. I was battling severe pain at some points. I remember a time in my life where I went almost a year with pain every single day, so severe that I could hardly walk. It was in my feet and in my ankles at the time. It would lessen as the day went on, but for the first several hours of the day, I just could barely walk from pain in my feet and my knees. People don't, like I said a little while ago, people don't understand that kind of chronic pain. And when you're young and you have small children and people don't expect you to be in a situation like that. And, you know, I kind of became a hermit because I didn't want to explain why I didn't want to be with people. And not a lot of people really got that. And thankfully, I'm sorry, I've been going on for quite a while here, but thankfully, once I got my life a little bit more under control and my diet under control and my stress levels under control. And our baby, thankfully, is now a very healthy and happy, almost 6-year-old. And I have two other healthy kids and life calmed down because instead of having 3 kids under 4, I now have some older children and, you know, things naturally kind of leveled out a little bit and I was able to get my health under control. But it was touch and go for a while. And it's funny because even we can forget going through periods of that level of pain once we're out of it. You know, so I understand why it's difficult for other people to not get what chronic pain is like and how miserable it actually is, because I've almost forgotten now because it's been over a year since I've been in that place of pain every single day.
I agree. It's not only do I forget, I mean, I would think that I always say, you know, if I hadn't forgotten the pain of the first childbirth, I wouldn't have had the second.
Amen.
But,
that's so true.
But
then you find yourself 9 months pregnant and you're like, oh my gosh, this baby has to come out. Why did I do this? What did I do?
Right. Exactly. But the other interesting thing I find, though, with what we'll call just the chronic illnesses type things, that I can be sailing along quite well, and then all of a sudden I'll wake up and I don't know, maybe it's a pains in my hands and feet or something. It's just something. Or maybe you're just sitting there watching TV and all of a sudden this headache just comes on super fast. Mm-hmm. And you begin to lose perspective on when is an itch just an itch? And I think a lot of doctors, even doctors that specialize in chronic illness, if they don't have one themselves, have no idea what it's like. Like, is this just a headache? Or is this something, you know, is this another flare-up? Or is this another autoimmune condition? Or, heaven forbids, is this a stroke? Or, you know, if you haven't had something like that, personally experienced it, it's really hard to understand the depth of things that happen. And it's not always just physical. There's a lot of emotional upheaval that happens when you get a flare. There's a lot of mental games that start, monkey chatter starts playing along, like, oh my gosh, what did I do to make it go out of control? Will it get back in control? I just appreciate your honesty on how it was for you and still is for you on this whole idea, because it validates, like, oh gosh, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. Uh-huh. And I think that's the hard thing for a lot of us to, when the rest of the people in our world are quite healthy, it's hard for us to keep a smiling face and still be able to muddle through the day, regardless of how much the people in our world love us. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with that. They just don't understand.
It's so true. And I applaud my husband now for taking more of an interest in it. We went through our ups and downs, and my disease was very stressful on our marriage when I was going through difficult times, because he, thank the Lord, is a very healthy person. He doesn't even get headaches. So it was really hard for him to understand how I could possibly be in pain every day. And it was really hard for him to understand why I was so crabby all the time. Because, I mean, as you know, when you don't feel well, you don't act well. And it was very, very, very stressful for us. And we went through some things, for sure. Thankfully, the last year or so, he's taken a much bigger interest. He's even gone to my last couple of doctor's appointments. He's done a lot of research about lupus and what it means. And that's made such a huge difference in our marriage and in our life and in our stress level as a couple, because he just didn't get it. And he had zero empathy. He had zero understanding. And life was quite challenging when I was going through rough times. And as a result, I think the fact that I know that I'm able now to talk to him about it, that I'm able to express to him when I'm having a bad day, it lowers my stress level, which impacts my disease as a whole, I believe. So I guess I share that just to say, you know, if it is bringing stress into the relationships in your life, the best thing that you can do is not to get upset and not get like really fired up about it, but try to educate the person and try to bring them into your world a little bit more so they can kind of understand, and hopefully they'll open to that.
Right. I always call it talking on eggshells. I mean, sometimes with stress, we're like walking on eggshells, but when I was at the height of it, a lot of the condition, I didn't even know how to talk about it. So I was always sort of talking around it, talking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. You know? So I was always sort of walking, talking around it because I didn't even have the words. And one of the things when my writing and doing this show has helped put words to it, help me understand I'm not alone. Other people go through similar things. Okay, I'm not crazy. I'm not losing my sanity, any of those
Absolutely.
Sorts of things. Oh my goodness. Alexa, you and I could go on and on. We need to take another quick commercial break. And when we come back, guys, we're going to have her tell us all about writepublishcell.co, because as most of you know, I am a published author through Wiley & Sons, as well as a self-published author. And that's how I actually met Alexa, was through another friend's published book recently. So we'll be right back and learn more about writepublishcell.co, because some of you have a book in you. So because share your experiences, let other people know what it's like. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Alexa Big Wharf today, and she is the owner and founder of Write, Publish, Sell. It is a publishing company that shares with writers and small businesses on completing, publishing, and marketing their books. And I just love this, that I think all of us should talk about whatever we want to talk about. And I believe there's a writer in all of us, whether we want to admit it or not. There's a writer in all of us, because stories are how we learn. And you can do fiction stories, as you guys know. I have a children's books out now, but Alexa works with people in telling their story or sharing their wisdom. So tell us more about writepublishsell.co and how we can learn more about it and the kinds of things you help people and bring out into the world.
Sure. So as I mentioned, I put together a book for grieving moms and did the whole process of that. And through that book, people kept asking me, how did you do this? What did you do? What does this mean? How do you actually publish and all those things? And I started to realize, you know, there's a big need, because there are so many people that want to write a book and publish a book. There's a big need for somebody to literally hold their hand through the process, if you will, because there's so, as you know, as a published author, it's as simple as sitting down and writing a book until it's written, and then it's not simple at all anymore, because there's things
exactly.
You have to know.
Writing
how
is the
easy
part. How
do you find an editor? What type of editors? Exactly. What type of editors are out there? How much do I have to pay for an editor? What is an ISBN? Why do I need one? Where do I publish? How do I do? I mean, there's so many things, and you don't even know what you don't know until it's time to go through that. So I found that I really enjoyed the part of helping people get their books into the world, but the part of doing the stuff that's super overwhelming and scary to people, because they're like, I wrote this book, I want to publish it, I don't know how to do all these other things. So I'm like, well, guess what? I do. Don't spend all your time and energy trying to figure that out. I can help you through it. We do basically author support services, everything from taking a person who just has an idea that they want to write a book, taking them and coaching them and getting them all the way through the launch of their book, to people who come later in the game and are like, okay, I have a book, it's already done, it's already edited, now what? So we offer different services depending on where you are in that process. I find that a lot of people are super overwhelmed about two main things. When they come in, they know they want to write a book, but have no idea how to get started. So I have a free 30-day challenge that's just 30 days of small, implementable tips, tools, strategies, resources to help you get through that process. And you can find that at writepublishsell.co/writing-challenge. And that's just completely a free tool for you to use to help you get started. And then the second part is, again, where I said people come and they're like, okay, I realize there's a lot going on. I don't know how to do all these other things. Help. And then we figure out what they need the most help with, what their budget is, what they can, you know, where they've fallen off the tracks, and how to get them back on and published. That's what we do. I also offer ghostwriting services. It's not something that I do. I mean, I usually have at least one person that I'm ghostwriting for, but it's not a huge part, because most people that I work with want to write it themselves and really just have this passion about their story. So most of my services are focused on the actual publishing process, and doing the publishing for people and some marketing clients.
Oh, fantastic. And it's a wonderful service because I always know that regardless of whether you have an autoimmune diagnosis or not, we all have a story that's within us that people can enjoy, laugh with, grieve with, learn from. I just think I'm such a huge fan of sharing our stories because that's one way that I have found that all of us can go, okay, it's all going to be okay. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. So thank you so much, Alexa, for sharing your story with us, and bravo for being one of our fantastic thrivers out in the world and making a difference. I just love to find the tribe of thrivers that we have here on the Autoimmune Hour. And speaking of that, we have the Transcribe Tribe is now available. Go to lifeinterruptedradio.com and a little pop-up window will pop up and ask you to join the Transcribe Tribe. Completely free to join. We're in the process of doing it. We have about 140 episodes now. Not all of them have been transcribed because we started this a little earlier and it's a huge undertaking. If you don't see the one you're looking for there, just drop us a quick email on the contact button and we'll put it at the top of the queue. I think we're about a little over halfway done now. So be sure and join the Transcribe Tribe over at Life Interrupted Radio. Everyone, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.